Are vegans actually unhealthy?
Does cannabis ruin your sleep?
And why are so many men taking testosterone supplements? I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg.
And we're the creators of the popular YouTube channel ASAP Science.
Every week on our podcast Side Note by ASAP Science, we explain the science behind a controversial subject with recent research, up-to-date studies, and ridiculous stories so you are entertained while, bam, simultaneously learning.
We're here to make science make sense.
Download Side Note by ASAP Science wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes a story changes so much in the telling that its ending is unrecognizable from where it began.
Police are now seeking the public's assistance in locating two men who were driving the vehicle and are currently missing. The BC RCMP are asking for the public's assistance in locating...
Almost 1 month ago, three people were dead in two separate incidents, and two young men were missing. And at the time, none of that was related. And then it was.
The RCMP are now considering Cam McLeod and Briar Schmigelski as suspects in the Dees Lake suspicious death and the double homicide of Lucas Fowler and Tana Dees.
The story of one of the longest manhunts in Canadian history, both in terms of time and in terms of sheer geographic distance, ended this week, and it ended with more questions than answers. Some of those questions will be answered over the next few days and weeks, and a lot of them won't be.
At approximately 10 a.m., RCMP officers located two male bodies. We believe these are the bodies of the two suspects wanted in connection with the homicides in British Columbia.
When a case ends with everybody dead, there is not usually a trial. And when there's no trial, a lot of the facts never come out. And when the whole thing happened in the furthest reaches of Canada's wilderness, with thousands of kilometers between sightings, with no eyewitnesses, nothing but empty landscape and two bodies at the end of the trail, well, there are probably some things that nobody will ever know. And when that happens, for some reason, those endings are not easily forgotten. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Lasha Kretzel is a reporter with News 1130 in Vancouver, and she's been on it since the beginning. Hi, Lasha.
Hi.
Can you tell me, just first of all, how strange this story has been to cover over the past 3 weeks?
Probably one of the strangest, just because of all this lack of information that we felt that we had with this case. Because a lot of the times when, you know, we're able to find some kind of information about the suspects, something that can help us, you know, while not accept what they did or dismiss it, but at least try to understand motive, an understanding about getting inside their minds. But really all we had this time was a couple photos from surveillance footage, stories about going to another province for work, and just some information about the teens from friends that they had made on social media and gaming platforms that we weren't even sure was really them or maybe just a couple photos. So overall, this has just been really strange to see something that has stretched over almost a month now that this has been going on, and just to see despite the long time that we've been talking about this story, the little information that we still have about it.
So tell me where this story began and how different was it back then? When you first heard of this story, what did police describe it as?
Well, this was a case spanning 24 days from the time that we first heard about this to just the other day hearing about what we expect to be the kind of the conclusion. So we first came into the story on Monday, July 15th. And that's when police came into it saying that they had found two bodies about 20 kilometers south of Liard Hot Springs. That's on the Alaska Highway. And those deaths seemed suspicious, but police didn't offer many details. So all we had as journalists was two bodies. And it wasn't until 3 days later, on July 18th, that we learned their identities.
And we're going to begin with this. A manhunt is underway after an American woman and her Australian boyfriend were found dead. Tana Dees and Lucas Fowler were on a road trip in northern British Columbia. Police in Fowler's native Australia say it appears they were both shot.
We learned the pair had met in a hostel in Croatia about 2 years ago, fallen in love, and they were avid travelers, and they were on a road trip across Canada when they were murdered.
Now, the two young men at the heart of this story, who were found dead the other day, how were they initially reported?
Initially, so Cam McLeod and Briar Schmigelsky weren't even in the picture at all. They eventually came into this as being reported missing.
The BC RCMP are asking for the public's assistance in locating 19-year-old Cam McLeod and 18-year-old Briar Schmigelsky from Port Alberni, who have not been in contact with their family for the last few days. They were driving the vehicle, found on fire 50 kilometers south of Dease Lake.
The family said that they had left their home, Port Alberni, on Vancouver Island on July 12th and said that they were going up to Whitehorse to find work. So that's quite a drive up from all the way from the island all the way up to, way up to Whitehorse. And they hadn't been heard from since, so the family was concerned, but they were just reported as missing at the time. So that's all that we knew about it, and that's how they were reported at first, was that we had these murders and that these boys were missing, but we did not know exactly how they were involved.
And there's one other victim that comes into play here, and who's that?
Yes. So what we had then was on July 19th, RCMP in Dease Lake, that's around a 20-hour drive from Vancouver, got a report of a Dodge pickup truck with a camper on fire just south of the town. And that's when a man's body was found 2 kilometers away. But, you know, days went by and that man was not identified for several days. This is actually where Schmigelsky and McLeod finally kind of came into the public eye.
4 days later and several hundred kilometers away, another mystery, this one near Dease Lake. A pickup truck outfitted with a sleeping camper was discovered on fire, the owners nowhere to be seen. But not far away, this man was found dead along a highway pullout. It's not clear what kind of connection he had, if any, to the camper truck. It was being driven by 19-year-old Cam McLeod and 18-year-old Briar Schmigelsky from Vancouver Island.
RCMP said that the truck found on fire was being driven by the pair. But at this point, like I said, they were just called missing. So we're wondering, oh no, are they victims in this? Are they connected to this man's body? Because we weren't even sure if the vehicle was connected to this man at all. We learned that the pair traveling up to Whitehorse to find work, and no one had heard from them since, but there had been reports that they'd been spotted in Meadow Lake, Saskatchewan. That's about a 24-hour drive from Dease Lake. So these are vast expanses that this seems to already be covering. And it was another 2 days, and finally, RCMP released that the man that they had found, the mystery man that had yet to be identified as Leonard Dick. He is a botanist who taught at the University of British Columbia, and he's from Vancouver. And at this point, RCMP announced that Schmigelsky and McLeod are actually being treated as suspects.
Given these latest developments, Cam and Briar are no longer considered missing. The RCMP are now considering Cam McLeod and Briar Schmigelsky as suspects in the Dease Lake suspicious death and the double homicide of Lucas Fowler and Tina Dease.
This is when we finally start to hear that the young men are moving away from being labeled as missing to being suspects in these murders.
So from your perspective and the rest of the media, and I guess families and just general British Columbians as well, right before that announcement was made, what was going on in the community? What was the coverage like when the RCMP would hold press conferences? Because at that point, you've got two separate murders, including three people, two missing teens. And if I remember correctly from out here, nobody really knew how to connect the dots.
No, at this point, we weren't sure how to connect them. A lot of this was because we were waiting for those dots to be connected by RCMP. We knew about the deaths of the two tourists. We knew about the mystery man, but we didn't understand how that tied in exactly to McLeod and Schmigelsky, because all we knew is that they finally learned that the truck that they had been driving was the one that was found on fire. And so the information that we had was limited, and so at those news conferences, there was just so many questions being thrown at police saying, like, can you tie these together? Can you tell us some information? And it was still like very early in the case, so we weren't having quite the same like news conferences that we were seeing every day once the search, the manhunt began in Gillam in earnest. Up until that point, I think a lot of us were just reaching out to all the RCMP detachments, and these are detachments that I don't think get a lot of the attention that they were getting. So for them, it was a very cautious approach of, we don't want to release too much information when we are still working on this case and confirming it ourselves.
So once McLeod and Schmigelski were considered suspects, then you guys started digging a little deeper into who they were. And what became clear when you started doing that?
Well, at first, a lot of the information that we were getting was through social media. Some friends of the teens, or people who said that they were friends and knew them through social media and gaming sites, had brought forward some photos of Briar Schmigelski in particular. The videos showing him standing in combat fatigues, of a rifle in hand, as well as some, like it was apparently an airsoft replica rifle and wearing a gas mask, and also some photographs of like a swastika armband and a Hitler Youth knife. Obviously, at this point, we weren't sure. There's not a whole lot out there about these boys, but we're not trying to label them as anything when we don't know exactly what they are. We have no posts on social media about the pair, but what they wanted to do. There's nothing suggesting that there was any sort of malicious intent at this point. So all we really had at that point was a couple of photos, and we didn't want to just be making these assumptions about who these boys were. Their family coming out saying these were young boys, they just wanted to work, they had just finished school looking for the next opportunity and felt that they could find that in another province.
So tell me how and where the real manhunt started and what happened from there.
So it wasn't really until July 21st that the manhunt itself really began in earnest, or at least in the public eye. Up until this point, the boys had just been missing. And that was the point on that date that they were finally confirmed as suspects in the death of China Dees and Lucas Fowler, and also charged in the murder of Leonard Dick from Vancouver. So the next day, on July 22nd, police found a burned-out vehicle near the Fox Lake Cree Nation Reserve outside Gillam, Manitoba. And that, we still had to wait some days before police confirmed that that car was actually the one that that was linked to the boys, and that it had been stolen. It belonged to Leonard Dick, and that McLeod and Schmigelski had stolen that vehicle and likely brought it to this point. But this is also the day that anyone can confirm that they actually saw the pair. And police finally identified Leonard Dick on that day. Over the next couple of days, the search around Gillam intensified, and this is a small town. It was just inundated with Mounties and the military. They were searching by land, water, air, and they set up information check stops along the only road in and out of the community. Now, this was just to talk to residents, get to know them, also maybe jog their memories. Now, of course, these boys had been on the run, or at least missing, for many days, and that gave them lots of time to not be in the public eye and get across a vast amount of area where people would just look at them and think these are just two boys in a car or on a road trip, or they're just going from point A to point B. So that gave them a lot of time to cover quite a bit of ground. And this was just, they're hoping that at some point in Gillam that somebody maybe just recognizes them, and maybe they even accidentally, or they helped them, not knowing that they were suspects in any murders, because even at this point, most of us didn't know. So like any good Samaritan, you see somebody on the side of the road, you might stop and help them, and you don't know. So this itself, like this whole search is intensifying in this very rural and very untame and unforgiving part of the country. I mean, the northern parts of the Prairie provinces, I'm from Calgary, and just going up even to northern Alberta and in northern Manitoba itself, these are vast expanses of dense bush. This is muskeg, that's swamp and bog, and just really hard to get through. You can't drive through most of it. There's only a couple of access roads. and you're surrounded. This is one of the heights of the bug season, and there's just wildlife everywhere. So there's just all those risks. And that terrain is tough. This is the kind of land that you can easily sink into and just never be seen again. So at this point, we're wondering if they got lost out there, this search might never come to an end. And this might have slowed them down, but it also meant that would hinder the police search for them as well, because the police also had to go through the same land that these boys were going through.
So tell me about then, because you mentioned that was sort of, you know, July 23rd, 24th. Tell me about the 10 plus days before their bodies were actually found this week, because there wasn't a lot of information, but there were all kinds of rumors.
There certainly were. So many people coming forward saying that they had seen them in northern BC, in Alberta. Other people, once the days started to roll by, people started calling in saying to Ontario police that they had seen the boys in Ontario. So now the question became, had the boys doubled back, perhaps found another car and made their way south and got into Ontario? Because there's just so many, there's limited roads and limited access. So obviously police looking into all of these tips, getting hundreds of tips by this point. And nothing being confirmed, nobody being able to provide that physical proof or the very sure thing that this was a verified sighting of the boys. And so actually the last time that we really knew that we had seen the boys confirmed was on Monday, July 22nd. And since then, there had been nothing. So there were a lot of rumors going around, a lot of fear in communities. At one point, RCMP being sent down to Yorkton to check out and make sure that there had been reports, again, unconfirmed. So we had another community that was getting involved and in a high alert. And again, RCMP swarming the area, that turning out to be nothing. So RCMP called down and resumed the search around Gillam. That's really where they seem to intensify the search for those boys. And it's not that they didn't search a small area. They searched 11,000 square kilometers. And to put that in perspective, wow, that is larger than the GTA. That would be searching all of the GTA, and that's in swamp, that's in rough terrain. So that's not actually a very easy search.
And it turns out that they were found not too far from there, right?
Ultimately, so what we had was that on, like you mentioned, the 10 days. So on August 4th, we had members of the RCMP underwater recovery team. They started this search of the section of the Nelson River near Gillam, about northeast of it, after they announced that they had found a damaged aluminum boat on the shore 2 days before. And RCMP in Manitoba had the dive teams go through the water around that area over the weekend, but they didn't find too much. They told us that then they found some items, unidentified items in the area along with the boat that kept them centered around that. And this was an area that was 8 kilometers from where the suspects were, the last known vehicle was found on fire just outside of Gillam. And so this was actually not very far when you think about the fact that they had searched 11,000 square kilometers, and it all came down to just 8 kilometers away.
This morning, at approximately 10 a.m., RCMP officers located 2 male bodies in the dense brush within 1 kilometer from where the items were found. This is approximately 8 kilometers from where the burnt vehicle was located. At this time, we believe these are the bodies of the 2 suspects wanted in connection with the homicides in British Columbia.
What do we know about how they were found, what condition they were in, what were they found with, et cetera, et cetera? How did this end?
At this point, we don't know much about how they were found, exactly where they were found, and in what condition. Beyond that, we know police were saying that that police believed without a doubt that these were the bodies of Cam McLeod and Briar Schmigelski. We don't know at this point what the cause of death is of these 2 bodies that were found. exactly where they were found, if they were found in the water, if they had some connection to that aluminum boat. What were those items that were found on the shore? Did they were linked to the boys, but what exactly were they?
So, but these men are dead and we're never going to get a trial, right? Are we ever going to find the answers to these questions?
A trial at this point is probably unlikely. Most of the time, if somebody is found dead, obviously there's nobody to charge, there's nobody to punish. Police have said that at this point they feel confident, but they're going to keep investigating to make sure that there are no other suspects, that there are no other, that they believe that there's no other way that Lucas Fowler, China Dees, and Leonard Dick could have been killed other than by Schmigelski and McLeod. But we just have so many unanswered questions. And like you say, that we still don't know exactly why the boys left home, if they had a plan to find work in Whitehorse, if that was actually true. How could they become suspects in the murders of these three individuals and charged in one of them so far? And if they are responsible for all these deaths, what happened? I mean, police say that they don't think the deaths were targeted, so we don't know why these young men could have possibly done this.
So what happens next?
Well, right now it is waiting for that autopsy on the bodies. It's being done as we speak, so police should get some answers in the next coming days. When they release that information, or even if they do, it's still up in the air. And then through that, we're just going to keep seeing police probably mentioning or talking about the ongoing investigation. They might not release a whole lot of information about how they're gathering their evidence, but at the end of the day, because of the high-profile nature of this case, we will hopefully find out ultimately when this case will be closed and when they have determined that these boys, although they will never see a trial, and I don't think that we will ever be able to, in the public eye, definitively say that they were convicted of these murders or that they did them. At the end of the day, at least the police will say that we do not believe that these murders were committed by anybody else, so that we don't think that we have some people still on the loose.
When you have a case like this that involves, you know, different parties, it spans provinces, it spans thousands and thousands of kilometers, and you have multiple divisions of the RCMP involved and local police, and nobody's really saying anything. How do you piece something like this together in a newsroom?
With a lot of people and a lot of people looking at very different angles. Thankfully, we have multiple people in the newsroom who were able to make out different calls to the various RCMP divisions, because when you're trying to reach so many different bodies and you have so many moving parts, it's sometimes nice when somebody is constantly on a constant beat and checking in on certain files. And also just staying in touch. Most of the information that we were getting was coming out of Manitoba, because that's where most of the press conferences were happening. It's where the search was going on and where they believe that the boys were located.
How do you think we'll remember this story in the weeks and months and years later?
I think that a lot of it will come down to that, the question of why, that we won't have a lot of those answers that we really crave. And that I think that a lot of the people involved here, especially the family members of the victims, won't get that closure that they want or the justice that they deserve when it comes to a case like this. The rumor mills will all have their hypotheses, especially on what could have led the young men to northern Manitoba to potentially killing these individuals if they actually did this, and if so, just why? You don't see cases like this a lot. Most of the time we're able to, or at least police are able to, piece together an understanding of why these things happen. And I think that is a big question that has not been answered. We have a lot of the other questions as journalists that we ask, things like the how for many of the suspects or for the victims, how they passed, the when, the where's. But that big question that I think a lot of people will keep asking is why.
Thanks, Lasha.
Thanks for having me.
Lasha Kretzel is a reporter with News 1130. That was The Big Story. For more on us, you can head to thebigstorypodcast.ca. You can find all of our other stories there, more than 250 of them now. You can also talk to us on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN. And of course, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, on Google, on Stitcher, or on Spotify. Shoot us a rating and a review if you want to be really nice. Claire Broussard is the lead producer of The Big Story. Stephanie Phillips and Ryan Clark are our associate producers. And Elisa Nielsen is our digital editor. And I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll talk Monday.